AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com. Off the ball, GAA.
I think a lot of it at the start was just a recognition that, you know, you can't just pick a player's image up and do whatever you want with it and feel that you can use it in whatever way you want.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 105 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, folks, with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and a bit of crack. Reminder as well that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good, JD.
So let's, before we get into this weekend's previews of the Tingle Creek and Aintree and Cork on Sunday, maybe recap on last week and what happened at Ferry House. But first, what happened in the Fighting Fifth Hurdle at Newcastle, because Constitution Hill, for the first 10 races of his career under rules, won all of them. Won a champion hurdle at Cheltenham, was an amazing hurdle horse, and in his last four starts, he's fallen three times. Should they just say, Nicky Henderson's yard, you know what, that's it now. He should never run over hurdles again, because surely there's a safety issue here now.
I personally do not believe that that should be the outcome to this. When Leicester won the league, I suppose, in the Premier League, you know, something like this should not happen. And it was completely unbelievable, like, that Leicester could win the Premier League. Constitution Hill falling the last time he's been ridden by Nico de Bonneville, the last three times, having fallen now three times out of his last four races. It's incredible. Like, hurdlers very rarely fall. Top level hurdlers, they've the odd fall. To fall in 3 2-mile races under the same jockey, only getting as far as the second in the Fighting Fifth, there's more to it than there's more to it than bad luck, because that just cannot happen without there being something wrong.
But surely the horse, if I looked at the race, I haven't ridden a horse, I don't think you have either, so I don't have that expert analysis from a jockey's perspective. It just seems that the horse lacked complete confidence, and it was the hurdle, didn't want to know that the hurdle was in front of him.
Yeah, I see. I don't know. I do a podcast with Paddy Flood on Mondays as well. Paddy Flood, like
Irish Grand National winning jockey.
Yeah, I think you're right to point out, JD. We're not jockeys, and I feel that jockey analysis of rides isn't. We don't get anywhere near enough it, because every time I get it, I think it's kind of like somebody with a coaching badge intrinsically discussing a football match.
All we can do is say we watch racing 30, 40 years. We can give maybe a good view, but not the real view of somebody who's ridden in a race.
Yeah.
And Nico de Bonneville has won a champion hurdle on him, and it might be the case that he just might not be suited to the horse anymore. It might be the case that the horse has got a mental problem. We don't know for certain, I think.
And he probably does at this stage. If you've fallen in three successive hurdle races under the same jockey, you probably have some sort of a mental issue. It might be a superficial mental thing, but it's definitely, you can't just keep forgetting that you're having these falls. And I've made this point, like, it's not easy in the racing game to call out jockeys, because for me, I have to interview them, and you know, I'm not great with confrontation, and if jockeys start to stop talking to me, even though I it's part of the job, you almost, after a while, you almost try to avoid that. So it's kind of easy for me to call out Nico de Bonneville, because I've never met him. Like, I never interview him, so it's easier for me to call him out.
Is it fair to call him out? I think maybe at Aintree you could say, did he make too much use of him at Aintree?
I think Aintree was definitely at least partly his fault. But
the other day, when I was looking back on the replay, it's just the horse, he didn't want to know the hurdle, because he just...
Yeah. I feel, though, that Nico just isn't a top-class jockey, and I'm not sure anyone would say he's a top-class jockey, really. Like, he's fortunate enough to be in the position he's in.
To be in that position, to be fair, he's a Gold Cup-winning jockey. To be in that position, Nicky Henderson Yard, he's obviously a very good jockey.
Yeah,
but he's not a top-class jockey.
I don't think he's top-class.
But I don't know if it would have made a difference if Jack Kennedy or Paul Tennant was on him.
That's where
we don't know that for certain.
On the balance of it, like, if Paul Carberry is riding him, even Paul now, who's half-crocked and in his 50s or whatever, you get a different feel from the jockey. And it really shouldn't be that hard to jump a hurdle. Like, it really shouldn't. Constitution Hill was not a bad jumper. So, for me, if I'm Michael Buckley, the owner now, I just wouldn't have Nico de Boinville riding him anymore. I would just say, you've had three goes, you've fallen off him. He's had three falls in three hurdle races over 2 miles in a row.
Not in a row, but three out of four.
You rode him.
Yeah,
James Bowen rode him in Punchdown. Yeah. So the last three times you rode him, he fell. He fell at the second at Newcastle in the lead. You know, I was reading during the week about the Irish guy. Did he miss like two kind of basically conversions in one game this season
for the New York Giants?
For the New York Giants, this stuff is completely unheard of. Like, it's 100-1 multiplied by 100-1 type thing. To have three falls like this suggests that something. Either they retire him, which is fair enough. They go on the flat, or they go over fences maybe. But they have to look at Nico de Boinville, because he doesn't have any loyalty to Nico de Boinville whatsoever. That owner, in terms of, this horse, I own the horse. He's had a cruel run of luck, and it may have nothing to do with Nico de Boinville, but I don't think the two of them are getting on at this stage. So I think it's worth a go, put another jockey on him. And in fairness to Nico is endangering himself when he's riding him at the moment, because he's having so many falls. And the horse, if Constitution Hill were to have a fatal fall, which is becoming obviously more likely the more we have these races, it would be very, very bad PR for racing alone. It would be pretty devastating for everyone involved in the horse. But I think retiring a hurdler because he can't jump a hurdle, I don't think I've ever heard of that before, let alone Constitution Hill.
Yeah, we just don't know if the horse has lost his confidence. We don't know that for certainty. And it just feels to me, like, looking back at the replay of the Newcastle race, that the horse didn't want to face the hurdle when he approached the hurdle. And I because we don't know what the horse is thinking, it's hard to say. Until we know, like, another jockey could get on him and he wins easy the next time. It's the jockey. It might be just pure luck. Because Nico de Boinville won over 22 lengths on a Supreme Novices hurdle on the horse, and he won the Champion hurdle on the horse and partnered him for his first about 10 victories.
To be fair, JD, the way Nico presents him at the hurdle didn't fill me with confidence that second. But again,
it might be the case that Nico de Boinville could suit another horse.
Oh, totally.
He gave
a horse a ride the day before, I remember, and I was like, that was a brilliant ride. It's not that he's a bad jockey.
Yeah.
And it can happen. Like, we've had many instances down the years where an owner decrees that the jockey, obviously famously Dawn Run, which was so trivial compared to this, but at this stage, I can't see why you would put the two of them up together again in a hurdle race. You've had three strikes, you're out at this stage.
Okay. So, Hatton's Grace hurdle at Ferry House, Teopu beating Ballyburn by a nose. I mean, Ballyburn on fences maybe didn't work out last season. It could be the case he goes for the Stairs hurdle. I'd be on Ballyburn's side over maybe 3 miles this season over hurdles, would you?
Yeah, I don't know, JD. There was something about that run in Cheltenham last year over fences that made me wonder, and at Punchtown, made me wonder what this horse's actual trip is. And Teopu sort of, I don't know, he benefited from the situation in the race, where I think it the race kind of maybe panned out a little bit better for him than Ballyburn, who flashed home having looked well beaten. And to be fair, they were 40 lengths clear. It was a strange race, like everything else was beaten miles. But I thought in terms of Ballyburn's confidence, I think this will stand to him. I'm just not entirely convinced he's an out-and-out three-miler. Whereas Teopu, who showed himself to be vulnerable in this race last year when he was well beaten by Lossiemouth, I thought it was a good comeback run, and he'll be pretty bulletproof on the day, albeit vulnerable in the World Hurdle. But I just don't know about Ballyburn crying out for 3 miles, and this wasn't a strongly run race per se either. Mystical Power was another mystery, who actually didn't seem to be doing too badly when he was brought down.
I think he needs to come back. Hasn't come back yet, possibly. The Drinmore Novice Chase Ferry House, possibly the best performance last weekend for me was Romeo Coolio. Look, he looks a natural chaser, and that means they can do a lot with him. They could go over two, they could go over further. He's an exciting horse now. Second to the Cheltenham bumper, remember?
Yeah, thankfully, the one sort of change they've made at Cheltenham is the Novice Chase division now only has those two options, to go over the 2 miles or the three for the staying novices. So I feel he will go over 2 miles, but I don't think it'd be a major problem if he did run another race. His jumping is brilliant. He's a real sight to behold. And the day he ran over fences first at Down Royal, they'd omitted a few fences that day. It didn't suit him. Whether he could beat Kopech de Bords on hurdles form I'm not sure, but Kopec de Bourges is not the most straightforward horse in the world. Romeo Coolio is really straightforward. And I've been tipping him for a while each way in the Arkle because I just think he'll definitely run in the race. And no way he won't be in the first three if he performs. And he was bought for a lot of money because of his chasing potential. I remember him winning a bumper one day. I think he was even money and I was there and there was so much chat about him. I couldn't believe that he was even going off that sort of price. But I suppose these chasers who are running bumpers, they can be vulnerable. But he showed at Cheltenham, in the Cheltenham bumper how good he is. He's no match for Kopec de Bourges, a hurdler, but he's a different ball game completely over fences.
Well, a natural chaser will gain lengths at his fences. Mm. That's key, and then there's no worries about jumping mistakes, taking a horse out of a race.
That's another thing that's come in, just talking about jockeys, yes, and analysing this kind of stride length and also the time spent getting from A to B over fences. There's a lot more data coming in now. There's been analysis done, we'll say, of Lulamba, who we'll talk about, Kopec de Bourges and Final Demand, their chase debut, for example, and you can read really good analysis now of the efficiency of a horse jumping, and Romeo Coolio looks a really efficient jumper.
The Royal Bond Novice Hurdler Ferry has, I know, Cocktail Brew won it. The third place horse, The Passing Wife, caught my eye for Gavin Cromwell, one to maybe keep an eye on. Cocktail Brew, a narrow winner.
Yeah, Love Me Tender and Port Authority scratched, really. This race fell apart a bit to me. The Royal Bond has been relegated to a Grade 2, and I thought this felt like a Grade 2, to be quite honest. And Cocktail Brute was all out to win at 8-13. Where he sort of... Blake was second, whose trainer Noel Mead provided Col Cannon to finish second to Cocktail Brute and at Punchtown, the maiden hurdle. And Cocktail Brute, Col Cannon runs it tomorrow in an interesting race at Navan. I don't know where Cocktail Brute kind of fits in, and Port Authority had a stone bruise, but he's obviously fit enough to turn up again tomorrow. But I didn't think this was a great renewal of the race, to be honest, and Cocktail Brute said just did enough.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Okay, on Saturday, we're going to look ahead to, say, Navan, first of all, the big race there. 110 is the Navan Novice Hurdle, Grade 2, 2.5 miles, six runners. The one I liked here was Covenus. I mean, it's the pick of Jack Kennedy. That's the first pointer to it. Won his point in the Leopard's Town bumper before disappointing at Ferry House after possibly needing the run. Won a hurdle race at Clonmel last time out over just under the distance that he's running in on Saturday.
Yeah, you say the pick of Jack Kennedy, JD, that's the key here. And I honestly don't know what the riding arrangements amount to here, because Jack Kennedy rode Classical Creek last time when he was sent off 4-9 in a maiden hurdle at Navan when he beat Phil Uri, a bumper winner of Willie Mullins's, and he beat him by 8 lengths, and he looked like a bit of a horse that they were going to talk a lot of. Jack Kennedy then rode Port Authority, who was very weak in the market at Naas, and he won by 17 lengths against Murat, a dual bumper winner, 27 days ago. And Jack Kennedy also, as you say, he rode Covanis at Clonmel, but I'd be amazed if that particular bit of form is the best of the three Elliott runners. Now, I think Gordon has an interesting job now, trying to keep the jockeys. It's not his job to keep them happy, but it's his job to keep the jockeys hungry and riding to their best. So he has Sam Ewing, Danny Gilligan, and obviously Jack Kennedy, who's been very, very much free of injury this season. He has to kind of keep them motivated and so on. And I honestly don't know what the riding range amount to here, but I would be surprised if Covanis went off favourite, because if you're reading into the market the last day, Classical Dream right now is favourite for the race with Hills. And this is a tricky race to price up. I would say he's the most, the highest regarded of these.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm going with him, but I just don't know what to make of the jockey.
Yeah, I'm going with a stable jockey.
Yeah, but that's not, he's a stable jockey, but it may not be his choice. Gordon may say, you're riding such and such, maybe you'll suit him better. He's ridden the three of them. I would be surprised if Covanis was the pick of the three of these. I really would, so I don't know what's going on.
Now, the Tingle Creek Chase at Sandown, 3 o'clock, the Grade 1 over 2 miles. Look, this is just... I mean, you could probably forget about Boot Hill, right? And Liberty Hunter is probably somewhere between a handicap horse and a graded horse. So it's really Il Était Temps, Jean Bon and Lo de Sud. This could be good. It's not going to be obviously Moscow Flyers, Ertiop standard, but could be interesting this.
Yeah, it's a cracking race. I mean, grade I one. Think to be fair, the Moscow Flyer Royal Chief is Ertiop Renewal.
It's one of the greatest races of all time.
The greatest race of all time. And God, it's funny. I think I had 20 quid on Moscow Flyer at 6-4 and I was away with myself. You know, I was working.
You were running the streets of Dublin.
I was working in Satanta up in maybe the Ulster Bank building, I think, and we're up on the sky anyway, and I was running around, and it was a Saturday, so most people weren't in, but I obviously worked the weekend shifts, and I remember obviously you'd won your few quid and you're getting 50 quid back, but the race, like Barry Geraghty looking behind him, it's like, geez, it was just something about that race.
The cheek
of him, and it was just such a confident
and an Anglo-Irish thing as well.
Yeah, big time at the time.
Jess Carrington, Paul Nicholls,
big time. And we, you know, Moscow Flyer was a real Irish banker type horse at Cheltenham when we would have had maybe a third of the winners. So this race, as much as it might not be that, it's really, really a hell of a race. And I rarely tip John Bond, but just at the price he is, I'm tempted to back him. He's going for three wins in the race. I think his price is based on two things. He was smashed by Il Était Temps at the end of the season at Cheltenham. At Sandown, I'd certainly give him the benefit of the doubt in that. When he was an 8-15 favourite, by the way. And obviously then the last day behind Lo de Sud, I don't think he's a Cheltenham horse. He's actually had cheek pieces on now in his second run post Windhoek. But on you never get this price about John Bond. He's invariably odds on. 7-2, 4-1, give or take. I'm willing to give him one more chance, John Bond.
What about Lo de Sud, right? So course and distance winner in the Henry VIII Novice Chase last season at Sandown, beaten at the Cheltenham Entry Festivals, returned by beating John Bonn, as you mentioned last time out in the Schlower Chase by 15 lengths, and could be a horse that needs time between his races. But he is a worthy contender here, Lo de Sud.
Yeah, I was annoyed I didn't back him at Cheltenham the last day, because I genuinely don't think John Bonn is a Cheltenham horse, and I was against him at Cheltenham the last time he ran there at the festival. For that reason, and Lo de Sud, I felt that the ground was really testing at Cheltenham. I thought that really played to his strengths. Not sure how much rain they're getting. I presume they'll be getting some of the absolute deluge we're getting here at Sandown, and that will play to his strengths. And he's a big, big player. Whether he has quite the ability of Il Était Temps, I'm not sure, but he's going to make it really interesting. But I expect John Bond to get a lot closer to him than I don't think John Bond is a Cheltenham horse.
Well, Il Était Temps is really coming to himself, becoming the real deal. Course and distance winner in the Celebration Chase last season at Sandown after almost a year off, then return with a win at Clonmel as a good jumper. I think right-handed probably suits him better than going left-handed, be kind of my opinion on it. I think he's the one to beat, but as you say, probably no value.
Yeah, what did you say at the top of that? He's becoming the real deal. That's an interesting thing to say, because...
Well, he was always maybe in the slipstream of other two-milers in Willie Mullins'
like,
yard.
And even the hilly ways on the weekend, so we've like... So Willie is a good horse in that as well. But say, I was at Thurles when he won at 1-7 in November 2022.
Remember, El Fabiola was the key horse for a while over 2 miles in the yard.
So after that race, Il Était Temps ran 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 races he ran after that. He was sent off favourite once in those 11 races. So that's kind of what you're saying. Despite all of that then, he obviously beat Jenny Zesney at Aintree, beat Gaelic Warrior at Punchtown. I'd be wary enough of that form with Gaelic Warrior. But the performance when he beat John Bonn at Sandown, on the face of it, looks very good. Now, the last day at Clonmel, I opposed him with... intense raffles sinking on the ground with the weight, he'd have a chance. That race fell apart for me again. I'm just not sure he's quite as good as he's been made to look in recent starts. And even, say he's rated 169, which is based on that beating of John Bonn. Was John Bonn at his best that day at Sandown? I don't think he was. So I'm just not sure he's definitely a top-class chaser. I'm not sure he deserves to be odds-on against these two.
The heavyweight chase you mentioned on Sunday at Cork, soft ground, 2:50 the post time, five runners at Caelium. You can rule out on a class basis.
Gets £5,000 to finish in fifth. Fair play to John Ryan. Gets £5,000 finishing fifth.
Van Bridge, I can't have. I think he might need the run. I think he needs better ground.
Nearly won the race last year.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Definitely ground though.
An Urgerman is 11 now, rising 12. Could that count against a horse who's nothing to prove, has won the race three times? Mashborough is, I suppose, the most sparkling horse in the race. 5 years of age, massive engine, could be a Gold Cup horse, to be honest, although it looks like they're going to campaign him for the Champion Chase. Won the Triumph Hurdle on heavy ground. Jumping has been an issue over 2 miles, but a fascinating runner.
Ah, what a race, JD. You know,
down to 50 the other one.
We've I think Vinnie Finnegan was saying in our podcast the other day there are about 70, 75 grade one races in Ireland and Britain over the year, which seems a lot. But and at times when you have weekends like this where you've basically two races, even though the Hillyway is a grade two, where you have the same horses who could run against, it kind of allows Willie Mullins to split them. But this is a hell of a race. Ad Calum will probably finish fifth, but of the other four, Banbridge was 16-1 in the race last year, which looked an incredible bet and could have won, but unseated. Energamine is 11-12, likes it around Cork, won this last year, and then was probably disappointing thereafter. And it's a horse who's maybe a bit fragile at this stage. Might be the time to get him. But Majbour is the enigma. As much as he'd so little experience, I was still very disappointed he couldn't win the Arkle in a 5-horse race.
But he made two mistakes.
A terrible mistake. And then he ended up being beaten by 3 parts of a length, which showed his ability. And arguably at Punchestown when he won by 14 lengths, he did so much wrong that day to win by 14 lengths. The problem I have with him is taking that sort of price. He's a 5-year-old giving ways to Found a 50 and an Ergamine.
Found a 50, right?
He's my selection, yeah, just at the prices.
He's probably a grade two performer, but he doesn't know that, right? He's honest as the day is long. He arrives here fit after the win in the 4-3 chase, and he could be the horse to pick up the pieces. Found a 50 is the one for me, I think, as well.
Yeah, he's the last time in his grade one efforts would render him vulnerable, definitely. Now, against En Violin, I feel they tried the trip, it didn't work, that's fine. And straight away, which is unusual, 16 days later, he bounced back to run in that grade two at Navan. On Troytown weekend and hammered Dino Blue. Now, Dino Blue made an awful mistake herself, but it was a really good performance. He's getting £2 off a younger horse here. And I just, whatever about Majbour's ability, he is a little bit risky given his jumping. In terms of his engine, he's miles clear of these. So it's a question of what you want to back at the prices. I'm not necessarily inclined to have a bet in the race, but Found a 50 for me, top price William Hill. You could even back the horse each way, I think, in what looks probably a 3-horse race for the two places.
So your radio pick this week is a John Bon?
I'll go with John Bon, yeah, just at the prices.
Okay, my radio pick is Found a 50 in the Hilly Way on Sunday. So let's look, Johnny, at the Henry VIII Novices Chase at Sandown. Good to soft ground, good in places on Saturday. 150 this race. Lulamba, okay, the most talented of the bunch, is only 4, gets a £6 weight allowance. Won on his chasing debut at Exeter, was a top juvenile hurdler, winning at Punchestown. It's youth versus experience here. Is Lulamba young enough or old enough or talented enough or... Is he up against the older horses? How do you see these kind of battles between the juveniles and the big boys?
Yeah, we don't have that many 4-year-olds going chasing in Ireland. It's probably more of a thing in England. And obviously, Nicky Henderson has had interesting options with some of his kind of top horses where they go. Like Lulamba's going chasing very early. Lulamba also runs in the colours of Mrs. Joe Donnelly, so Stateman's owner. You've all these kind of little dilemmas going on. Stateman obviously having that injury as well. Lulamba's jumping an extra for me. I'd give it about 7 or 8 out of 10. It wasn't spectacular, but I just have to be honest here, Judy. He's getting £6 off basically horses that I don't think have anywhere near his potential. I was very sweet on Be Aware at Cheltenham the last day. I just thought at the prices he was well worth the bet in what I thought was a match. And he jumped brilliantly. I think they might have omitted a fence or two that day as well, but he couldn't match July Flower. Now, I just thought there was something about that. Like, July Flower is a decent mare, but I thought he Lulamba would not be beaten by July Flower. I'd be amazed if he were. And Be Aware was game and did everything right. And she kind of just, she just had too much class for him. I can't see him giving £6 to Lulamba on that form. So that leaves the other pair. And again, I don't think they have his ability. And Lulamba is an absolute machine. He was probably, if you backed him in Cheltenham and you're beaten by 100-1 chance, Poneros, you're probably wondering what you had done to deserve it. But he's been brilliant and getting the weight. You know, I can't see, he's a National Hunt pedigree. He's going to take defences long term, no doubt. And it'd be a nice tonic for Nico de Boinville.
Lump sum, could be half decent. I mean, won the Welsh Champion Hurdle last season, second in the Fighting Fifth, won on his chasing debut at Uttoxeter. I mean, for the betting without Lou Lamba, he could be the one.
Beaten 11 lengths by Sergino last year. And like Sergino, who's a bit of a machine himself, I just doubt what the potential Lou Lamba has. It's hard enough for us to call this in terms of betting now, because he's 4-6 across the board. He might get bigger than that. But it's Lou Lamba's race to lose at these weights.
We have the Beecher Chase, sponsored by William Hill, at the half a mil Beecher Handicap Chase 240 at entry on Saturday. 3 miles, 2 furlongs, 13 runners over the national fences, which of course not the same as they used to be. Good to soft ground, soft in places on the national course. To me, you got to be looking at horses with low weights here. There's Gallia de Lato, there's Val Dancer, there's Gabba Riot. I mean, to me, like backing a horse like Bioluminescence off nearly a top weight there doesn't make any sense to me.
My selection in the race.
Yes!
There we go.
Why is Bioluminescence your selection in the Beecher Chase, Johnny?
The fact that Gavin Cromwell has had a winner is definitely encouraging. I think he was about 1 from 70 or something like that, even more runners. I wasn't sure the stable form was quite as bad as people were saying, because a lot of the horses were running quite well, but for Gavin Cromwell to have those stats would definitely worry you. And he did have, I think, a 12-1 winner the other day. Bioluminescence is a very, very good horse. And she's been... I remember watching... We're just about to start football Saturday. I was sitting over there and I had a good bet on her to beat Spindlebury in February. And she drifted like... I basically knew my fate before the race. She went from about 11-8 out to 9-4. Was no match for Spindlebury. But to be fair, Spindlebury has turned into a really good horse. She was beaten again by Spindlebury at Clonmel, but that was her first run of the year. And if you look at her beating of Pagan in December of last year, and even her second to Dancing City, she's a very, very good horse. And
but she's the horse, she's such a big horse that she strikes me as a horse that would be suitable for the national fences 20 years ago and not now.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
This was the Intense Raffles thing.
Yeah.
Intense Raffles, great jumper, won the Irish National at Ferry House, jumped them ragged.
Yeah, I think ground is a big thing for both, really, and definitely it'll help her. Probably here they're getting a sighter to see like how will the race work. I would be of the view she'd be better on soft ground, which she'll get tomorrow. So I would have small stakes on her. She's a load of ability. Mr. Vango, top weight, fascinating runner as well under Jack Tudor. He's coming back off a first run. I definitely think that run will stand to her. She probably needed it the last day.
Gallidale is the toe, right? Is the horse that really jumped off the page to me. And I'll tell you why now. Well, first of all, the jockey, Tristan Durrell, won the big race with the Carl Gold Cup at Newbury last week under trainer Dan Skelton, who knows how to place them. This horse... Just looking through the weights here of the Beecher Chase. I mean, you got Mr. Van Gogh's there at top weight, and Gallia de Lato is carrying 10 stone 7 with the jockey's claim. She ran really well in the Grand National, which I Maximus won last year. She was right there up in the van before she faded, so obviously she didn't stay, although she was second in a War Classic Chase over 3.5. She's 12 pounds lower now, and definitely think she's well handicapped.
Yeah, it's a good young rider as well, and has to reverse form with Val Dancer from, was it?
Like, Val Dancer's got a chance. Like, a Welsh National winner, only carrying 10-6, only £4 higher than winning the Welsh National.
A lot of these horses, as well, it's very much a sighter to see how the fences work out for them with a view to maybe sort of targets down the line, and I've no doubt that's the case with Bioluminescence, but yeah, definitely has a chance. Dan Skelton's horse run very well.
Yeah, Gabba Riot has only got 10 stone, 2 on his back. Robbie Dunn rides him. Grand Versatile will get the trip. His recent second in the Grand Sefton, definitely giving him strong claims, I feel. That's the Beecher Chase. We got Sam Norris on the line from William Hill. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, lads. Yeah, yourselves?
Not too bad, Sam. So you sponsored this William Hill half a mil Beecher Handicap Chase on Saturday, 2:40 at entry, a race I kind of used to love. I'm falling out of love with the Grand National fences and the Grand National itself because of the way the whole thing has been modified to the point of being sanitized. But that's just my own contrarian view.
I agree.
Just not the same. But what is attracting the money for this one?
Yeah, firstly, I don't think it's a contrarian view at all. It's the general consensus, I think. I think a lot of people feel that it's gone that way. But yeah, always nice to see the national fences. You know, we get to see them so rarely through the course of the season, even with the modifications. It's still quite a unique test for horses. And obviously, we're thrilled to not only sponsor this, but we sponsor the Classic Chase and Warwick and the Haydock Grand National Trial as well. And we've got that £500,000 bonus if any horse can win one of those three trials and then go and follow up in the big one at Aintree. I think one for Arthur, the last horse to do that in 2017. So whoever wins this, hopefully they'll be pointed towards, you know, the showpiece in April. And they can have a go at half a mil. Mr. Mango, no surprise to see he's been really popular at 4-1. Midlands national winner who stays all day. Grant doesn't look like it's going to be too bad at Aintree, but if it does rain further, you know, he'll be absolutely fine. Goes well fresh. There's nothing not to like about him. It's interesting, the horse you touched on, John Gallia de la Toe. She's our worst result in the book at the moment. She's been very popular since the five-day decks, actually, Gallia de la Toe, all the way into second fav now, sort of 7-1 into 11-2 the last 24 hours or so. So, yeah, she's a big mover in the market. Bioluminescence is one we think might go off shorter tomorrow. I know that the Cromwell Yard have been under a bit of a cloud to the start of the season. They had a welcome winner at Clonmel the other day. She's interesting at 8-1. And Bill Baxter, I wouldn't be surprised if there's support for him on the day. Former Topham winner. Punters do like horses who tick the box when it comes to the national fences. So, yeah, he could be interesting. A lot of his form's over 2.5, but he wasn't stopping when he won a Punchestown over 3 miles back end of last season. Yeah, looks a decent enough renewal. All 13 of them. We're used to massive fields in this, but still going the extra place for at a quarter of the odds. And yeah, fingers crossed, you know, we have a good winner and they maybe have a tilt at the bonus.
Yeah, Bill Baxter is worth a mention. 9-1 shot. I mean, he plummeted down the handicap after winning the Topham over the fences, and then won a Punchestown, and now is rated 139 after bouncing back to form, and ran well over hurdles last time behind Haute de Couleur.
So very good form.
It is very good form. What's your pick in it, Sam, in the Beecher?
Yeah, that one, Bill Baxter, for the reasons spelled out there, because I think people have looked at him and thought, all of his form is over 2.5 miles, but I think he showed plenty of stamina in that Punchestown race last season. So yeah, he'd be the one for me.
I just mentioned that Bioluminescence was 9-1 in the Irish National. The race kind of went a bit awry, but like the fact 9-1 in a 30-runner race off her mark, she's definitely considered kind of a stay-in type. And
but she, it strikes me she's a horse for Limerick at Christmas.
Yeah, possibly
in a Grade Two or Grade. You know,
she went. She could go back to Limerick. I'm just not sure now. I'm trying to think what Limerick has for her, but she's like a galloper type of. But well worth a go with this. Like, and JP is kind of probably trying to suss out what do I have for the national down the line.
So you're sponsoring the card at Aintree on Saturday, Sam. So is there anything else you want to highlight in terms of that card?
Yeah, as you say, looking forward to the sponsorship. It's been a fairly quiet betting heat at the moment, with the exception of obviously the Beecher. But we have seen a little bit of money for one of them in the 3:15 contest. Kepler's Law is 11-1 from 18-1 for that. With obviously Sandown on tomorrow and the Beecher as well, and it's obviously, you know, Navan and Cork to come in Ireland as well. It's interesting that that horse has moved. So maybe keep an eye on Kepler's Law, 11s from 18s in the 3:15.
Christian Williams trains, Jack Truder rides, 10-5, Kepler's Law number 8 in the 3:15 at Aintree. Where do you stand then on this Tingle Creek? And Johnny feels that John Bond is now value in the betting. Where's the money been going?
Yeah, funny enough, I had a similar sort of thought. I mean, let's say Tom, I think it's obviously going to be hard to beat. 10-11 favourite, sluiced up on the reappearance last time around. John Bond, Sandown was probably the track where we've seen him at his very best through the course of his career. And he got thumped here in the celebration chase by Ilete Tomp at the back end of last season. But given how good he is at Sandown, and Lotus have beaten fair and square at Cheltenham last time around, but we know Cheltenham is not the happiest of hunting grounds for John Bond. I think the chances of him turning the form around with Lotus Sud, who's been really well backed, by the way, into 9-4 now, Lotus Sud from 11-4. John Bond's eased out to 4-1. You can make this a two-horse race and go match bet. I think John Bond's value to turn the form around with Lotus Sud in that match bet, which you can add to other markets for a bet builder here if you fancy William Hill. I don't think he'll beat it, let's say, Tom, but I think his chances of reversing the form with Lotus Sud are far greater than the market would suggest. At Liberty Hunter and Boots, they'll probably making up the numbers. But as you say, it's a fascinating puzzle.
We got some propaganda from Sam last week about the bet builder now that William Hill is bringing in. And it's well worth a look for a race like this to have a bit of fun. So like, you can basically pick that John Bond will at least beat one of his rivals and kind of work that into your take in the race. But it's a good innovation. And I agree with Sam there. I genuinely think John Bond back here is well worth on the context of his career, in the context of his career, he's been an incredible, like, not a superstar, but an incredibly durable racehorse.
Never been on the first two, I believe.
I think he has never been on the first two, yeah. And like, as much as he's shown his vulnerabilities, particularly at Cheltenham, like, he's been a brother to Duvan, a hell of a racehorse.
What about Lou Lambert? The professional is going to come for him on Saturday, Sam?
Yeah, it's just another intriguing race. Only four runners, but yeah, it just shows again you don't need a massive field to have an interesting contest. He passed the test with flying colours, Lambert, on his chase debut. We stuck him in a 4-6, but I think this will be a good test for him. You know, Be Aware hails from the Dan Skelton yard. He won this last season with Lotus Sud, of course. He lost nothing in defeat behind July Flower last time around, made her pull out all the stops in what was a really good performance. Lumpsum beat a very good yardstick in Jacks Jr. last time around. That horse came out and dotted up over fences on his next start. So his form looks really strong for Sam Thomas Yard. And the mover in the race has been the outsider, Al Nilam, who's 8-1. Not a big surprise to see that the punters have kind of cotton on to this horse. We stuck him up at 12s originally. He's into 8-1. The Sean Bowen, Ollie Murphy factor is having a real effect on runners at the moment. But he's 2-2 over fences. So look, Nilam was the one with kind of superstar potential, hence the 4-6 price tag, but is going to have to go some to beat these three. I think it's a really interesting race, despite four runners and an odds on five.
Are you a man for an anti-post bet, Sam? Have you already done your 10 to follow for the season? Have you got your 100-1 voucher for something for Cheltenham next March yet?
I'm not much of an anti-post player, I must admit. A lot of the juice has been kind of sucked out of those markets down here, haven't they? And I struggled to find a winner at the weekend, never mind in 6 months' time or whatever it is.
He is right. Like the anti-post markets are nowhere near what they were. It's kind of a reflection of just the way the game has gone. And the bet builder that Sam references, that's kind of more the way bookmaking is going towards that sort of stuff, and little kind of model related stuff, whereas anti-post betting is so reliant on information like it is. And in fairness, I remember having an account closed down with a bookmaker one time when I had a bet on a horse, because I was a journalist and I got news that one of the big horses was out, and that was just the end of my account. And I kind of reflected on it and I said, yeah, I can see where they're coming from there, because they know that it's blatant inside information at times. If you have a sort of a two horse anti-post book and you know one of them is out, you can hit away. But just the life has gone out of anti-post markets.
Right, okay.
Mm. It's great when it comes off, though. Like, when I remember having Sam Crowe and Lorena that Cheltenham.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I think in itself, I think it's a silly exercise, because you're talking about an animal, first of all, that could get injured tomorrow. You don't know what the ground conditions are like.
You can't disagree with you more. If you and me like a pint together, we've 5 months now of what are we, 4 months of talking, 3 months from now to talking about Cheltenham. So it's something to talk about. And as you see, your 10-1 become 8-1, 6-1, 4-1. It's something to talk about. It gives you a buzz, even if the horse never runs.
Nick Rocket is my counterpoint. Nick Rocket, I think, was probably 18-1 or something. Yeah. First show at the Grand National, went off 33s, 46-1 on the exchange. Mm. He could have backed him 5 minutes before the race and got the best price he could have got. Mm. At least you would have known he would have turned up.
Mm.
Would be my opposite argument to
you. You can also back...
I've only had one good anti-post bet in my life. Turpin Green in the Gold Cup in 2007, 100-1.
There we go.
And was third.
I love anti-post betting. It's just, I find it's as Sam alluded to there, it's more difficult now.
Sam, what about Navan on Saturday? This novice hurdle, grade two. We're kind of wondering why Jack Kennedy has picked Covanis, but that's good enough for me. Is there any money gone for anything, or is the market yet to mature?
That was literally what I'd written down. Jack Kennedy, ? He'd had the choice of these three Gordon Elliott horses. You know, they all won little maiden hurdles last time around. None of those races have produced a winner as of yet. Jack Kennedy rode all three of them, so he'd have a really good idea. Covanis was probably the least impressive visually. Classical Creep won here at Navan. I think the reason he's favoured is the course and distance form at 5-2. But it was a market that, you know, we struggled to price up because of the Jack Kennedy factor. Why is he on the worst looking of the trio? Maybe. I know they're quite similar in terms of form, but
don't rule out as well. Don't just magically. It could magically happen that one of these doesn't run. I'm not suggesting anything, but Port Authority didn't run last weekend, so maybe he'll get a stone bruise again. I don't know, but I'm with you, Sam. I'm slightly baffled by the whole riding arrangements.
Does he have to ride for Gigginstown?
No. Absolutely not.
So he really has got the choice of all.
I'm not sure he has. Doesn't make sense to me that he definitely would have picked.
And we'll know after the race.
And Gordon as well. Gordon can probably sort of say, "Listen, this is who I want to ride." And I imagine Gordon has a lot of power, but he's a difficult job there, Gordon, in kind of the musical chairs of those riders at the moment, because he's some very good jockeys.
The Hillyway Chase at Cork on Sunday. Sam, what's your take on it? Like, Mashburn obviously is the talking point. He's the horse. Are we going to see if this horse can, you know, spread wings and fly into the winner's enclosure without hitting fences?
He is fascinating, isn't he? You know, Willie Mullins has won this millions of times before. The Willie Way Chase, they should call it.
I'm having that one, son.
And his horses are, you know, probably, you've got an Ergomen in there who's won this three times before for Willie Mullins. He won it last year. He's the reigning champion. It looks a tougher renewal this time around. He's an 11-year-old, probably not quite the force of old. And it's all about, as you said, how his more illustrious stable will make jumps in Margeborough. He's 4-6 favourite. I mean, he's got an incredible engine, this horse, as we well know. I took him on in the Arkell last year, not with the winner, by the way, but I thought...
You had a chance on the last one, whatever you backed, anyway.
There's going to be one shuddering error from Margeborough here, because there always is.
Might not be, though. Now, they might have done a lot of work in them in the summer, and he could come out and just blow them away.
It's true.
And the strength in the market, you know, suggests that that's maybe the case. And he's won loads of races in Ireland with jumping errors. He didn't get away with it at Cheltenham, going championship pace. But he's won before. He's won grade ones and jumped badly. That's how good he is, yeah. This horse. So you can't lay too big of a price on him, even though he's a bit of a sketchy jumper. He's a horse you love to take on. But he wins in spite of that time and time again. Found a 50 could be quite solid.
Yeah, we like found a 50, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to do the John Bond found a 50 double, you're still talking about 20-1.
That could be really nice. That could be a really nice way. And it's just less question marks about found a 50 compared to the Mullins pair, even though Marshborough is, you know, far more exciting.
Okay, Johnny Ward, it's time for your charity bet. You got €50 to spend. Would you like to put €50 on the nose to win on a horse, or would you like to put 25 each way on a horse this weekend, Johnny?
I have three selections in my race and TV column, so I'm just going to pick based on the price here. If William Hill has this race priced up,
Which race is this?
The 142. And
which day is it?
It's tomorrow. So I'm going to go with the 142 at Navan. Gringo Dobrell under Mike Kennelly, 20-1 William Hill in the 142. He's funny horse, this fella. His career hasn't maybe gone the way that the money paid for him would have hoped, connections would have hoped, but he's run the last year. I thought it was a lovely run. Basically, just to give a bit of lowdown as to why I like him, he was 5th of 19 over 2.5 at Navan last time behind Paddy's Milestone, who reopposes. Both of them are out of the handicap tomorrow because it's a race that's lopsided, but if Facile Mode is 4-1, like, I just could not trust that horse at all. Buddy won his top weight, he's rated 150, and the horses at the bottom are rated 100 and 14 Paddy's Milestone, so it's a big. But Gringo Dobrell, he stayed on really nicely the last time. Mike Kennelly takes off 7, wasn't knocked about, course winner at a bumper, trained by the inform Gordon Elliott, 20-1 each way.
Number 13 on Saturday, 142 at Navan, Gringo Dobrell, 20-1 for 25 each way for Johnny Ward's charity bet. Gordon Elliott trains, Michael Kennelly will ride. That is the big one for the racing pod this week.
Before we wrap, Sam, what would you do with Constitution Hill?
I don't like the idea of retiring an animal when he's fit, healthy and well. However, it you are a bit worried about him jumping over obstacles. Now, I would probably, guns to my head, try and campaign him on the flat, but he is a 9-year-old. And whether he could go and win group races on the flat, having never raced on the flat at this age, I don't know. But it'd be really interesting to see him have a crack at some of the big handicaps. That would be probably what I would do. What about you guys?
I was just thinking there, how would you value this horse? How much is he worth? There's one for you.
I'd run him at Royal Ascot and find out then.
Yeah, I mean, he's flat. Like, with his point-to-point background, like, I'm not sure how good this horse would be on the flat. I genuinely am. And also, the thing that you touched on, JD, I'm not sure mentally. Like, it definitely has to have left some sort of a mark. I said you weren't there, Sam, but I genuinely can't. I cannot have Nico de Bonneville on that horse again for either of their sakes. Yeah. After three, it's like three strikes you're out on a hurdler. Absolutely. But I'd love to see Paul Carberry out of retirement and ride him. There we go.
Yeah. Sam Norris, thanks so much.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
That was episode 105 of the Racing Pod. Thank you, Johnny.
Great having you back, JD. Yeah, enjoy the race on the weekend.
Yeah, and a reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. We're going to be back next week. Look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.